So I'm going to throw a slight wrench in this with another example I have.
That is a surprise to me.
Or are you fully shocked right now?
Welcome to Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. I'm Maury Fontanez.
And I'm Melissa Grushka.
And today we're going to talk about cultivating intuition in kids. Bean, are you into it?
I am very into it.
Let's do it. Hello there, my friend.
Hi. I feel like we actually haven't spoken much this week. We normally talk a lot more.
What happened? Were you busy?
No, I feel like
I wasn't that busy.
Work to commute. Maybe that's why you weren't that busy. Usually when you're really busy, I have more to communicate to you.
That's true. That's true.
Right.
That's sad, huh?
Well, we let's find get a way busy.
Let's find a way to have friend conversations, not just work conversations.
Your email. Yes. Let's do that.
Okay. That's a good idea. So what's happening? Cringe, delight, what you got for me?
I have a delight.
Why do you always go first?
Okay, you go.
That's my cringe.
Sorry. All right, you go first. How about you go first? Go ahead.
Okay. No, I want you to go first because I think when you go, I can think of mine. Sorry.
Oh, you don't even have it? You didn't even do your
remark? I have a million things. No. I have a million things that happen. I just have to pick something out of it. But I just realized I had to be bratty about it. But I actually like the system where you go first. So let's go back to it.
You want me to go first then?
Yes, please.
You're just messing with me and my emotions? All right. I'm going to tell you my delight. And it almost sounds made up, but it's not. Because for some reason, this past week or two, I have had more people than ever tell me how much they love the podcast. And I'm not joking. And I'm not just saying it. I even texted you something that my sister sent me. Yeah. And yes, let's all granted, everyone who said this to me is either a friend or a member of my family. But it just seemed like a lot of people in one setting, like in one sitting. Like I feel
was
like
was it
I've
around
had
a particular episode
no.
or multiple
That's what
episodes.
I'm saying. It was just random, like, just listen to this, or this one was so great. You guys are so good together. Your banter back and forth. Even my cousin, who you're talking to later, mentioned it in an email. I just feel like it's been like five or six comments from different people about how lovely the podcast is.
That's really nice.
I know. It's really validating. I don't really need it. Like, I'm enjoying myself no matter what, but it is really nice to feel supported by people you care about and to hear that people, they could just be like, oh, your nose looked nice on episode 12 or something, but they were like really commenting on the content and our dynamic together. I just thought it was
That
lovely.
Is really nice. You know why? Thanks. Because we sit here in this bubble, me, you, and Anais, and we make this show every week and we put it out and like we really don't have any clue what happens to it. It just goes out there and then we just show up the next week and we talk about something else. So, you know, hearing that people feel – I think what I hear that I'm thinking that you're saying that also you hear is like while they're complimentary, I always hear how much episode whatever – you know, 107 really made me think differently about money or, you know, the way that it really helps people just like grow, which is the whole point.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. It was really nice to hear because you're right. We really love doing it, but we don't,
we don't know
if anybody else does.
That's good. All right. Delightful.
All delightful.
I love it. I'm glad you went first. That put me in a good mood. Okay, mine is a cringe, and I think my cringe is my brain. My brain is my cringe this week.
Your brain is my delight.
Aw. No, wait till I tell you.
Oh.
So I am 43, and I am realizing that as I am getting older, my ADHD is becoming a true problem.
Really?
Like, I've always lived with it and managed it and I think utilized it to get a lot of things done and be successful in multiple things simultaneously.
Yeah.
But now it's like things just fall literally out of my brain. So this last week or over the last 2 weeks, let me just tell you what I have done here. I asked my brother to come to town because the kids' spring break is coming to take them with me to Disneyland. Or they asked him, actually, because they really wanted to go with their uncle. But anyway, so he's flying all the way from North Carolina.
Aww.
Done. So he buys his ticket.
Done.
I, 2 days later, call my stepson, Keegan, who is like we are just locked. Lockstep. Right? We love each other.
Right.
Call my stepson who lives in the Bay Area. I'm like, I miss you so much. I really just want to come see you. I'm going to fly out and see you on the same weekend that my brother is coming.
Smart.
But that's not in my brain anymore. He's like, oh my God, I love that. Great. Goodbye. 2 days later, I ask my husband, whose birthday it was, what do you really want for your birthday? And he's like, I just want to go skiing with just you in Tahoe.
Oh,
I'm
no.
like, awesome. Let me look at my calendar. You know what? This weekend of the 23rd is open. So I – wait.
Triple booked?
I book flights. Then and there as a birthday gift. Okay.
Oh, no, Bean.
So then I'm sitting there and I'm like so proud of myself. And all of a sudden I'm like, 23rd. Oh, my God. So I text my brother. I'm like, did you get your flight? He's like, yeah, here they are. Why? I'm like, oh, nope. Don't worry about it. Call United. I'm like – please, please, please tell me I can just move this back a weekend. I'll figure right. out whatever. So they move the ticket back to the 30th. I move the trip. I'm so happy and proud. Still have to tell Keegan that I'm an idiot, but he'll understand. We'll go see him another weekend. And then a week goes by. I'm so proud of myself that I've worked it all out.
Wow.
And then I think, what was I going to do on the 30th? Oh, I told Raina she could buy her best friend tickets to a concert in LA that I was going to drive them to. Yes. And those tickets were purchased 2 months ago.
Why is nothing in your calendar, can I ask?
I don't know.
This isn't even ADHD. This is just like general, stupid. Your 40s, too much stuff going on. So things start to drop. That's why you have to write everything down, I'm learning.
I know. I think what happens, this is why I'm saying it is my ADHD, is because my attention, I will make a plan. And then yeah. something will happen that will take my full attention away before I can even get it in the calendar. So like yeah. I will have talked to my brother. He would have said, yes, I'm coming. And then whatever, my phone rings or I get a text message and I get so fully engrossed in whatever the other thing is, I forget to even put it in my calendar. Anyway, I have created a disaster for wow. 2 weekends. I think I cleaned it up, but.
Oh, what's how'd you
it
clean
was not
up?
Fun.
Is Raina going to the concert?
Raina's best friend's parents happen to be our good friends. And I just called her and I was like, I'm an idiot. And she's like, I will drive them to LA.
She's like, you are an idiot.
Yeah. And then TJ and I are going to go skiing. And my brother is still coming the weekend before. So we worked it out.
I love all of this.
Keegan is so cute. He goes, Moore, you and I have the same brain. I totally get it.
Aw.
I know.
Sweet boy.
So it was sweet. But that's my cringe. I'm just cringed out at myself.
Wow, I'm sorry.
You can't really? Even tell me that I'm wrong.
No, I feel like – I just don't feel like it's all ADHD because I feel like this is happening to me. I am 41 going on 42, and I feel like the older you get, there's just like less space up there. Like it's all taken up by what you've put in there over the last 40-some years, and now there's just not that much room, so some stuff has to drop out.
It's right? like that – what is that Uber Eats commercial? Is that what it is?
What?
You know that new Uber Eats campaign that's like to remember stuff, you know, you have to forget stuff. And then they have Ross and Rachel. It was David Schwimmer and
yeah.
Jennifer. And they're on like a lot break. And he runs into her and she's like, do we know each other? And he's like, are you kidding me?
Yes. No, I haven't seen it. But yes, exactly. Something has to go to make room for the new.
All right. Well, anyway, that cringe aside, what I do remember is that this episode came from a listener.
Oh, yes, it did come from a listener who was interested because we talk so much about intuition. And this listener suggested we talk about cultivating in our kids, which I jumped all over because my number one role always is being a mom. And I'm always trying to apply everything I learn here to my children.
Yeah. Listener, thank you for interacting with us in this way. This makes
yes,
us so happy.
Super
and guys,
fun.
If you ever want us to talk about any topic, DM us at Signal with Maury and Melissa on Instagram. We are happy to do episodes that are going to make you feel like you get answers to questions. So yeah, intuitive kids. And the question really was just how do we cultivate intuition in our children? And I think I have a lot to say about that.
That's great because I have no idea.
You have a lot of questions.
We make a great team.
Well, I want to start by saying this.
Yes.
I truly believe, and this is really the thesis on which all of my work is based on, that we are all born intuitive. That we come into this world fully integrated with our higher self, the part of us that is connected to the sacred, divine truth of who we are and to a larger consciousness. And with that comes an ability to sense things at a very young age that we then walk away from because we choose fitting in with others, even if it's our parents at first. Right. And their ways of thinking and their belief systems. We choose their belief systems over our own inner wisdom.
That's survival.
Survival. Yeah. But I think, I don't know. So I think the first thing when I talk about this is to really watch little kids, like really little kids. I'm talking 1, 2, 3. Yeah. Super right fun. Before they realize that they've got to change to get love. Right before that moment, which is right around 4 or 5. And watch the way that they are interacting with themselves.
It's the best.
What? How would you describe it?
Unfiltered, raw, just very real. Like there's nothing to it. If they want a cookie, they want a cookie. If they're, it's all just like very, I don't know. What do you think? It's
true. No, I agree. And I think that like when I think about it, I think about my kids at like 2 or 3, how they could like sit in the grass, play in the grass, have a full conversation with the grass,
yeah,
and be completely immersed in this invisible world that us adults have been ripped away from.
Totally.
That is coming from their inner self.
Yeah,
I mean, some people will say that that's imagination, whatever you want to call it. But their inner world is so rich that they are creating worlds around them where they can hear what the birds are thinking. And suddenly they see themselves flying with the birds. And they're so free because they're so immersed in this inner world, in this dialogue that goes on between them and, I don't know, whatever it is that makes them alive. Like being alive is so interesting to them in that moment.
Imagine a bunch of adults living so unadulterated, so freely.
Yes. Yes. I mean, we then obviously have a world of quote unquote realities and responsibilities, yeah, that right, stop making it possible for us to exist in that pure, unadulterated joy and wonder. That's what it is about being that little.
Yes.
It's wonder. Everything has such magic to it.
And it's also new and fresh.
Yeah. And so I think that that is actually the age where you can begin to cultivate intuition in children. Right, mm-hmm, when they are in that tender, wondrous place in their lives. And it's not about talking to them about intuition, obviously.
Right.
They're 2 and 3. It's about not squashing the wonder. It's about facilitating the wonder. So sometimes we parents need our kids to be a certain way or act a certain way to make our day easier.
Correct.
Right? Like you've been lounging in the grass for 10 minutes too long. We have to go. Right?
I have to get dinner going. Whatever. Yeah.
And those realities will exist. It's not like you just let them lay out there all day. That's not what I'm saying. But I think that if we can stop as parents or whoever that's engaging with a very young child and just get on their level, get into the wonder with them, it will show them that it matters, that there's value in what they're experiencing. And that, you know, we now have to go do X, Y, and Z. But when I say we shut it off, I mean we react from a place of not seeing them and seeing what they're experiencing. We're in our own tunnel.
Right.
We're not really seeing.
That's why it's hard to get into the wonder. I was just going to ask if you have a tip into getting into the wonder. I mean, half the time, as much as I love watching the kids and my kids, you're kind of like checked out part of the time because your mind is working a million miles an hour.
Yeah. And it's just about pausing and stopping yourself. It's not about getting into the wondrous place they're in because we are, again, so far removed from it that that's a whole other episode. It's about putting their experience ahead of yours in that moment. It's about just pausing and saying, what's going on with them right now? And remembering what I'm saying. They're existing in a space of wonder that you don't want to squash. So how do I gently move them out of whatever activity they're doing while still respecting what they're getting out of it, rather than thinking only about what I need them to do. We sometimes as parents see our kids as extensions of us, if that makes sense. Totally. So we're not seeing them as individuals who are in a process that matters in that moment. And so what I'm saying is giving them the respect of honoring the process they're in that moment, that will change the way you interact and talk to them and move them along their day. Does that make sense?
It does. I'm just trying to think of actual what your wording would be. Like, let's say they are in the grass for 30 minutes having a conversation with a ladybug and you do need to get inside and start dinner because everybody does need to eat. What's a gentle way to say, we got to go?
I don't want to be that prescriptive. I think what I'm saying to you is what not to do is, hey, get up, let's go.
Okay.
Whatever
I feel
is,
like I just need a firmer example. It doesn't have to be the one. But how do I stay in their land of wonder while also ending it by saying it's time to go?
One of the things that I really encourage and used to see my kids light up around and my stepkids, I tell this story about my stepson Quinn in the book, which I can't wait for me to be able to really talk about. But
yes,
is curiosity. Like getting on their level, getting on their eye level. Ooh, what's going on down there? What's happening? And letting them tell you about the world that's unfolding,
right,
in their imagination. And as you're listening, then being able to say, that's, you know, reflecting so cool. back to them right. how cool it is. In about 5 minutes, we're going to have to now leave the grass people right. and go eat so that you can be strong to come back and protect the grass people. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yes,
be in their world and tie in their world to your world. And I just think that when we think about this, we think of like kids throwing temper tantrums and screaming and saying no, so we've got to get really rigorous about it.
Right.
But I actually think they get to that state because they're so unseen. Right. So they're trying to get your attention.
Right.
But if you can get on their level and see their world and understand, all I'm saying is that at that age, they're living in wonder. Don't interrupt their wonder, because that is their dialogue with their inner world, which is the very seedlings of intuition and trusting their intuition. Then as they grow and they become older, you know, we're now in like adolescence. The thing that I think is most important in cultivating intuitive wisdom in kids is asking them, what do you think? And telling them constantly that you trust their decisions, that you trust their wisdom. So I do this with my son a lot where
that
I'll say
– really hard.
I know. I'll say to him a lot, you make really good choices, or you always seem to know what you need. How amazing that you just know. Like, I wonder where you know from. So starting to talk to them as they're getting older about knowingness and how their knowingness is so spot on.
What if your kids are not making the best decisions?
What does that mean?
Like, what if it's something that, let's say your kid is frequently, here's just an example. Let's just say your kid has homework every night and comes home and wants to run around outside and talk to their friends and go to a friend's house and stuff. And then every night at 9:45 is having an absolute meltdown because yeah. their homework's not done. And it's a consistently poor decision on their part to save it for 9:45. Not saying my kid does this or anything. I'm just trying to make this tangible for people whose kids aren't always making the best decisions. How do I say to you, hey, this isn't working out for you in the best
way? They're not able at that age to think through consequences, which is where you get to partner with them.
Okay.
Right.
Partner is a great word.
Right. Partner. Not dictate.
Right.
Not authoritate.
Right.
But partner. So, hey, you want to go play with your friends. That's going to be so fun. You make such good decisions for yourself. You get it. Like you need that to have fun. Totally right. Get it. Let's think about your homework. How's it going to feel if you have to come home and do it? Oh, no, I can just do it. Okay. Well, like guiding them through questions. I guess I think what's happening here mm-hmm. without judgment is like there's a black and white thing going on where what you're hearing me say is there doesn't have to be rules. That's not what I'm saying.
No, no.
It's okay to say this is the rule. Like for in our house, they're not allowed to actually do anything until their homework's done.
Right.
That's just my rule. So they've got to live with that rule.
Right.
That can coexist with me finding moments to honor their decision making and constantly letting them know that I believe they make good decisions so that they can trust themselves. The wisdom that moves their decision making along.
Right.
But obviously taking into consideration their children who don't know how to think through full consequences.
Correct.
So we are going to have rules
right.
that allow them to be safe right. and healthy.
Right. Because your brain is not developed enough at certain ages to make the best decisions on your own
yes.
behalf always.
Yes. But I just think that if you look around, you don't hear parents say enough, mm-hmm. you really make good decisions, or I really trust you.
Can I make
I trust you well.
Yeah. Can I make some really gross it's not really a gross analogy, but just an analogy. We're working with a dog trainer right now, and it's the first time I've used somebody who uses a different method. And one of his things was, we're very doting on our dog and we love her, but she's like a mess. She just acts out all the time with other people. He said that a lot of people, as well as us, don't reward her enough for her good behavior. It's too much correcting.
Yes.
Rather than you're great. So most yeah. of the time she feels like she's great. So she yeah. wants to be better.
Yeah, right? Exactly. That's
and
exactly
I think that
right.
really applies. Yeah. Like yeah. you're great. And then when you do have these moments where maybe they are making the best decision, they don't feel as like torn down over it because they've been feeling belittled
yes.
the whole week by you about other stuff. I even get into ruts, I feel like, with my oldest because she is getting older and pushing back a lot more. And we do have weeks sometimes where I feel like all I'm doing is telling her like, don't stop, please don't stop. And I do see the weeks where I'm like more like, great job. Cause I'm not perfect, that she responds much better to me and that we
yes.
don't go down that path as much.
Right. Yeah. Right. Because you know, all people, all organisms actually rise to the frequency of the way that they're treated.
Right.
To the environment that they're around. I think I've talked about this water exercise where the Japanese researcher put labels on different bottles of water.
Right.
Some really loving words, some really negative words, or sometimes he would shout negative words at the water and he would talk really loving to other cups of water. And then he looked at the water under the microscope, and there's a book, it's gorgeous, where the ones that had all the loving words, they look like gorgeous snowflakes. And the ones that were shouted at, I hate you, you're ugly, the little, like they've turned black. They're
oh.
darker. They're not as expressed. They're not as beautiful as the molecules of the water that was loved on. So we are all organisms going to respond to the frequency of the energy around us. And when kids are young, they're really tender. And their whole ideas about themselves have to do with what they're getting energetically, verbally, emotionally from those around them. And so finding ways to, if you want your kids to trust their intuition in a way that you are just learning how to do, then remembering that you have to teach them they can trust themselves.
Right.
And you tell them you can trust themselves by finding moments to let them know you trust them and you believe in their decision making. Another thing, really important, kids are intuitive at a level that is not explicable.
Right.
So they can pick up on other people's emotions. They can sense things in rooms they walk into. Whatever their level of intuition is, sometimes they just know something. Get really, one, curious with them. Like, how did you know that? How cool.
Right.
But two, do not try to convince them that it's not realistic. Don't gaslight them that the thing that they're sensing or feeling, there's no evidence for, right? Like, mom, we've talked about this. Mom, what's wrong? Nothing.
Right.
Everything's great.
Yeah, I've stopped doing that.
Your kid in that moment is intuiting your emotion.
Right.
Do not gaslight them. And we've talked about this. We don't have to keep going into it because I think we've said it in multiple episodes. But just to say here, that's an example where if your child can sense emotion, then don't gaslight them around the emotion. Just let them know the emotion's happening and I'm on it as an adult. But also, when they can sense things that you can't explain in your mind, really try to fight your cynicism in shutting it down with them. Really try to remain open to, okay, you're like, you know this somehow.
I was just going to use an example because I wanted to ask you how you would navigate something like this with a child. We can also cut it if it's like too specific, but I think something you said got me thinking, like my oldest always wants all the doors locked. She has this sort of nervous energy around the possibility of what could happen, you know, in terms of somebody coming in the house. We live in a super safe area. Like, we have lovely neighbors. Everything's like lovely here, right? So she's always like frantic about locking the doors. And I want to be curious, but I also want to like quell her fears, right?
So how would I engage? That's anxiety. That's very different. Okay. That's her anxiety, which is the opposite of her knowing self.
Intuition. Okay.
So what you can teach her is, if a thought really makes you nervous, there's another thought on the other side of it. What's the opposite of that thought?
Oh, I love that. Like, we're safe. Then
you're giving her access to her calm. You don't even have to tell her. If a thought is making you nervous, anxious, sad, angry, did you know there's a thought on the other side of it?
Right. It's a spectrum.
What is the opposite of that thought? And show her the spectrum in that way. Oh, well, the opposite thought is we're safe. How does that thought feel? Calm. Did you know that your most calm thought is the wisest part of you?
Oh, I love that.
That's exactly what we talk about with intuition, but now you're showing them that in that moment.
Right. I love that. So wise.
No, it's good because that's actually was going to be my very last tip, which is that I talk about fear and intuition being on two sides of a spectrum.
Right.
You can show them that by responding to their fear with that exact exercise that I just showed you and showing them how to find the calm truth or the calm information and how to trust that calm information more than they trust the fear thought. Because the reason we adults don't always lead with our intuitive wisdom is because we've been trained to trust the fear thought more than the calm thought. You can flip that around by constantly being in a dialogue that teaches them to trust the calm thought more than the fear thought.
So I'm going to throw a slight wrench in this with another example I have. So
that
with...
is a surprise to me.
Are you fully shocked right now?
Yes.
So on the flip side, she does have a very, very strong gut. She has a very, very strong intuition, my oldest. I've told her that countless times. So much so that if we're on a street and she will get a strange feeling about somebody who we don't know, and I always have said to her, just go with that. Because if they didn't do anything to you and you still feel something, something's there. Just go with it. But that almost comes across to me as fear. And anxiety of like, oh my God, he's going to hurt me. She's going to do something to me. I feel nervous on this street and in this space. And the calm side of that would be, I'm fine. My mom's with me. We will be okay.
No.
Kind of vibe. No?
No.
Okay. So please, please elaborate.
The feeling about the person can come through very calmly. It can feel at when that first thought is, I don't like this. Right. It comes through just like that.
She's
Your anxiety grabs the, I don't like this. And uses it to create a narrative that is terrifying.
Yes.
But the calm thought is, I don't like this. Great. Go across the street. This happened when you were here. We were walking past this group of men and I just, every cell in my body reacted. And we crossed the street.
We crossed the street.
Yeah. So I think that it's about teaching them absolutely your intuition is going to get your attention to keep you safe.
Right.
It's going to come through strong and calm. Cross the street. Or this person doesn't have a good intention. Great. Your anxiety takes that to a level of projecting terror into the situation.
Love that. Love that. Yes, we did. We immediately crossed the street and you immediately said to me, did you feel that? And I was like, nope.
Nope.
I felt great in the sunshine.
Anyway, so I don't know. I hope that was helpful. I would love to hear, Bean, what your takeaway is, but I want to make sure I review these so that you guys have like a list of steps that I mentioned because we scattered them along the conversation. So I'll really give a summary and then Bean, we got to hear your famous takeaway, obviously. All right. So first one is when kids are really, really young, let them exist in their sense of wonder. If you can't leave your cynicism or sadness or grief for that day, that's okay. But just honor and respect where they're at and allow them that sense of wonder. Don't rip them out of it because you're not in a headspace that you can hold it. The second one is to really teach them that you trust their decision making and just remind them that they make good decisions and that they value decisions. That doesn't mean they don't need rules or boundaries. They need those things, but find moments to remind them that they make really, really good decisions. The third is that they're going to have intuitive senses about the unseen, whether that's someone else's emotion or they can communicate with people who have passed. It could be any part of the spectrum.
Right.
One, don't let your cynicism stop you from being curious about how they know those things and really help them believe in it. Don't take them out of believing in the thing that's unseen. And then don't gaslight them. If they're sensing something from your emotion, respect them enough to tell them they're right so that they know how to trust that feeling. And then fourth, teach them the fear and intuition spectrum by engaging in a conversation with them when they're in fear or anxiety that just asks them, what's the opposite of that thought? What's the most calm thought you can have? And just know that that's your inner wisdom and learn to really trust that part. Bean, biggest takeaway.
Ooh. My biggest takeaway is that we often feel as parents that it is our job to structure our children's minds and behaviors in a way that will make them the most productive members of society. But what we're actually doing is making them into these molds that we believe will be make them the most productive members of society. When if we really allow them to be feeling beings and let them use the intelligence they have come into this world with more effectively and more intuitively, for lack of a better word, that they will in turn grow up trusting their own decisions, less insecurity, and ultimately become those wonderful members of society that we all want for our babies.
Melissa Grushka, can we get a round of applause for Bean? That was so well said.
Thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't mean we have to be best friends with them. And it doesn't mean that we never have to give them rules. It just means that we have to validate them and see their emotions as we would a good friend and not tell them, oh, knock it off.
Period.
Period. The end. You're welcome.
The end. Bean, love you. This, I hope, was a helpful episode to you guys. I hope that the listener who asked for this feels like they now have some practical skills to apply. As always, guys, if you want to support us, we would love for you to share this episode with your friends and family. And also, don't forget to leave us a review anywhere you're listening to us now.
And ask questions. I think this is really, I think it's really fun responding to an actual listener's question. Like, we're engaging with people. You know, we make this podcast, like we said at the top of the hour, we don't even know what happens. But then these questions come in and you're like, oh yeah, people are listening and they're liking and they're learning. Keep it
and
up,
we
guys.
Clearly really respond well to that. So that's another way you can support us is just let us know you're listening and engage with the content and ask us questions. We're happy to answer any questions you have. Bean, I love you so much. I'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
This has been another episode of Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. This podcast is co-hosted by me, Maury Fontanez, and Melissa Grushka. Special thanks to my production team, Anushree Thekadeth, Arman Kassam, and Anais Islami. Don't forget to join us next week for another episode. See you then.